back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
I'm fired up because I know this guy is going to bring it, and I got to get my game face on.
You want to introduce our next guest?
No, you introduce him.
This guy, he really does know his recruiting, and he knows a lot about Michigan State, especially in relation to the University of Michigan. And he can tell you about the arrogance factor.
And he has a very strong disdain for the University of Michigan as a Michigan State graduate.
That would be Rico Beard of Fox 2 in Detroit. Hey, Rico.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, it's 1,000 days, and I know that you've celebrated. Tom's celebrating his birthday tomorrow, but Spartans are celebrating around the world today.
Yeah, 1,000 days. You know, there are certain things that I did not ever think I would see in my lifetime, and this is another milestone. First, I went to the Obama inauguration, and now I'm celebrating 1,000 days.
Which is a bigger surprise?
You know what? I still got to give the president by a no.
But if it gets to 1,750 days, then that's...
Then they take
you
over.
See, Rico, what I'm worried about right now, because of the, you know, when Deshaun Sims got, you know, annihilated and they grabbed his jersey and you know, the Michigan State game of last February, whatever it was you know, was a bad mistake. They got screwed by the officials. We know
Of course.
Tom Izzo knows that, right? Okay.
Right. Right.
Now that happened, I know that Michigan State is going to dominate Michigan in basketball probably the next 4 or 5 years. This means that October 9th is the only shot to break up this streak because it ain't going to happen in basketball.
That's true. No, I think that October 9th, if it doesn't happen October 9th, then this thing could extend on to at least about 1,400 days.
Yeah,
at least
now we're getting up to Ohio State type of level.
Ooh,
Tom, you know, we were talking about Michigan arrogance and the perception of that. And Rico, you know what tells me that's true? If you look at the record since Mike Hart did his little celebration on the sidelines at Spartan Stadium, Michigan has 9 victories and 18 times they've been screwed by the officials.
Yeah, at what the clock ran out. Or the field.
Oh, come on. Sparty's are the biggest whiners in the world as well. You know it. I know it. Goes around, comes around.
Are you kidding? The last time that Michigan actually lost a game, I think, was 1987. Was the only one they will officially say we lost.
Well, yeah, but that's because Demetrius Brown just gave the game away with those 7 interceptions. I mean, how do you throw? Okay, hold on a second.
Let's get a colorblind quarterback.
How do you go back to 1987? I mean, how do you have a quarterback throw 7 interceptions and you're still in the game in a game-winning situation with under 4 minutes to go?
You know what's older than 1987, Rico?
The old bit of the arrogance of Michigan people.
Yeah, and the last time Michigan won a Big Ten basketball championship, that was 1986.
Ooh.
So you have to go a little further back.
Okay,
than that.
We had a nice little warm up.
Jack from the corner for 3 and scores.
Okay, we've had a little warm up exercise. We've done the Pilates. Now let's get into recruiting. Okay, Justice Hayes. How the hell does he come from Grand Blanc? I mean, Michigan State can't get him. You know, I was in there. How's he go to Brian Kelly in Notre Dame? What is this? This guy's a miracle worker.
You know, it was. If you follow recruiting, this was Jonas Gray, the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the same thing that happened with Jonas Gray. You go to Notre Dame, and you get blown away by Touchdown Jesus and the Four Horsemen, mm-hmm. and they really sell. And Notre Dame's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I love going to Notre Dame. And what happens is they come in there and they sell the kid on some early playing time. And when you look at Michigan State and Michigan, he has a lot of competition that would be freshmen and sophomores in front of him. At Notre Dame, by the time he gets there, he really will only have one back ahead of him that he could possibly split time with and get onto the field immediately. If he comes to Michigan State, he's behind, you know, Baker, Caper, Hill, Bell. You know, Langford, and he's behind 6 people already. Where if he goes to Notre Dame, he has a quicker time to play. Plus, it's Notre Dame. He bought into the Brian Kelly system, and it actually fits what he does. So that actually was a good decision by a kid. He didn't go with necessarily his heart. He went with the best situation.
Yeah, and if that's what he wants to do, then God bless him. But I think that Michigan State's going to be in great situation. They've got four or five very promising tailbacks in the last two classes. And
then they picked up a running back 2 days before, which kind of lets you know that Michigan State was out of the running.
Right. But you picked up a running back. What does that mean to us novices who don't follow rivals and scout? What does it mean? How good recruiting is Michigan State getting right now? Be honest with me. Straight up.
Well, now, I was actually talking to a bunch of recruiting, I guess, experts, and we were all saying that this year is not the year of the superstars. There's not a ton of these great five-star talents coming through here. Now, there is one, and Michigan State got that one, but there's a lot of good players this year. This is not going to be a spectacular class. So right now, you know, Michigan State's doing well, and Michigan's doing well with their recruiting. They're getting solid players who have potential, but I don't think each team is getting any immediate impact players.
Well, when you look at what guys are going to be at 21, it's not always fair to project that from age 17. And I think that there's more than one player in the state of Michigan this year. You just wrote the name down there, Tom, of another guy who is still, I guess, technically undecided, but I'd be very surprised if he didn't wind up playing in East Lansing.
Is that D'Anthony Arnett?
D'Anthony Arnett.
Yeah. Well, D'Anthony Arnett is one thing I have found out is when it comes to recruiting, there are two types of kids. They are the kids who, I just want to get this over with so I can move on with my life, kid. And then there are the kids who love, it's like their own reality show. They want all the attention. Mm-hmm. And not to say that that's a bad thing, but D'Anthony Arnett is more so, He likes the attention on him.
You know, and there's no middle ground in that. The kid either wants one or the other, from what I've learned. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I think he's going to ride this out. I think that he may decide. Well, he said that he may decide before his senior year starts if he finds that it's starting to interfere with his playing on the field and with his team. But I look to see that should probably end sometime this fall. And he eliminated, you're going to love this, Tom. He eliminated Michigan a long time ago.
Thank you.
Because he said that that's an offense for quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers will never flourish in that offense. But Michigan State still has a chance. I would still, even though all the rumors are about USC and everything going out about him, I still think that he'll end up at Michigan State because a lot of the current recruits are currently recruiting him. And they're always on him, and it's funny because I'm listening to him, and they're saying, D'Anthony, when are you going to quit playing games and come and join us? So I think in the end, he'll end up staying here. I think it's nice. You know, you get the trips out to the USC and Tennessee, but I think in the end, with the things that are going on, especially at USC, I really don't know why anybody would want to go out that way.
Yeah, I've watched his tape a lot, Tom. You know who he is?
Yeah.
He's Marvin Harrison.
Ooh,
he is exceptional at getting off the line of scrimmage. Try to jam this guy.
Yeah, but you know, getting back, I agree. I've seen some clips of him on Rivals. You know, Rico. You know, you made a very valid point about wanting to go to Michigan as a wide receiver. I mean, would Braylon Edwards or Adrian Arrington? I mean, would they want to play in this offense of tear screens that for Roy Roundtree? You know, that's cool. You know, that'll work. Martavius Odoms, that work, you know, run the little dig routes and stuff like this. But, man, this is a whole different approach to the game, and it would hurt their NFL career if that's what they aspire to.
I don't think that Michigan is, and this isn't a dig, but I just, with that offense, I don't think they're going to get the big-time receivers. But then again, you know, Braylon Edwards came in as, you know, I think he was either a two- or three-star guy when he got there.
Right.
So he
Mario Manningham or somebody like that. You know, there's other
examples. You're not going to get a five-star receiver to go to Michigan unless his father and his grandfather went to Michigan. You got to have extenuating circumstances for that to happen.
Right. You know, we were talking earlier, Rico, and we're chatting with Rico Beard of Fox 2 in Detroit. We were talking about where people are being recruited from and geographically what that means. And when Michigan was dominant, and, you know, Bo Schembechler took him, I think, 13 years to lose 16 Big Ten games. He was getting his players from Michigan and Ohio, some from Illinois, maybe a few from the East and a smattering from the South. But by and large, this was a Michigan-Ohio
game. Well, it was U.S. 23. I mean, you go down to Ottawa, Ohio, and Fremont, Ohio. You just drive down that road, you see these towns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where blah, blah play, you know?
And they were holding their own in Ohio, and they were dominating in the state of Michigan. And every time Michigan gets a player from the South, I don't care how good he is, that's a victory for Michigan State. And I want to tell you one story about this. It has to do with Detroit Catholic Central and Tom Mack. And I sat with him at lunch, the head coach, and one of the greatest coaches in Michigan high school history. And I said, you know, you're getting the Duffy Doherty Memorial Award here, and there have been so few Catholic Central players at Michigan State. And he said, you know, we never saw Michigan State coaches. And it was everything was locked up. They weren't coming to Michigan State. And it wasn't that Tom Mack was telling the kids they couldn't go there. But Michigan State guys didn't know where the school was.
Right.
And now, you know, because Michigan is AWOL.
All right. Well, Mark Messner's of the world, we're all coming to Michigan.
That's right. D'Antonio and his staff, and this doesn't show up in the standings yet, but it's why I'm optimistic about this coaching staff for infrastructure reasons. They have done a great job of building relationships.
And Dan Enos was a big part of that. Now they have to fill that void.
Right.
Hey, but you know what they actually have with the new coaches they got, the new running back coach.
Right.
Salem is actually, you know, he's opened up the Minnesota doors, and they've picked up a couple of recruits out of the state of Minnesota, top recruits out of the state of Minnesota. So.
And he has a lot of connections in Wisconsin. You know, you get a guy who runs a 4.240 defensive back from Wisconsin.
Right. I mean, he was relatively an unknown, and then he did that, and everybody knew he knew his name. But you're right, Jack. D'Antonio made it a point when he took the job to visit every school in the Metro Detroit area to say, I'm here and I'm going to be here and I'm going to recruit the kids here. The previous regime kind of steered away from that and never really came down here. And you're right. Every school was pretty much a feeder school to Michigan. Now you see things have changed where, you know, even Renaissance High in Detroit was constantly sent their kids to Michigan. Not anymore.
Right.
I mean, there's five or six kids from Renaissance High are now on the current Michigan State team, including the top kid in the state will be going to Michigan State. Right. So he's really opened up. And with Michigan, I mean, it's an interesting argument because I have it all the time. Do you want to recruit locally or do you want to be able to recruit nationally? Recruiting nationally is fine, but when it comes down to it, when you recruit nationally, the kids don't have the same respect for the rivalry games.
Right.
There's no difference between a Michigan State game and an Indiana game for a kid from Florida.
Right, right. Then the homesick factor gets in there, too.
Yeah, and if you don't play, right, if you don't play, then, you know, you're pouting and you're ready to go home
right.
and you're ready to transfer, whereas a local kid knows, you know what, this I've been waiting all my life to run through this tunnel.
They want to run through the tunnel, and it can end at the tunnel, and they're good with that.
Yes, and I think, you know, you can getting players from around the country is fine, but I still say that your core, the bulk of your successful recruiting should be about at least 70-75% within the, you know, the Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Wisconsin area. Right in this, because these are the kids that are used to the cold weather, they're used to the elements, they're used to everything, they know the Big Ten. They know what the games mean. And instead of just, oh, well, yeah, we're playing Ohio State, that's just a school in Ohio, right?
And just a school in Ohio that beats us every year.
Right. It's not that, you know, my parents hated them.
You could say the same for Purdue.
That's right. Your blood boiling. Their blood's not boiling. You know, you get chills. They're not going to get chills up the spine.
Hey, Rico, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
You're the man, Rico. You always will be, baby.
All right. I'll talk to you guys.
Rico Beard, Fox 2, Detroit.
One of my favorite guests on the Jack of Time Show.
Yeah, he's good.
He's up there in the top five.
We're going to talk to Sam the Answer Man a little bit more. And we're going to take your calls in our final segment. 393-3700, a reminder, if you have missed the interviews with Pat Fitzgerald or Bill Lynch or Trevor Thompson, you'll be able to hear them a little bit later today. Steve Finnemore also is here
or
for
Rico
half hour.
Beard.
Rico Beard, Dr. John Braccio. In any case, you can hear those interviews and some of our banner today at 1320WILS.com. Just click on the Jack and Tom Show icon. We'll be right back in a moment on 1320WILS.